It's the odd to Newfoundland. Ghostly greetings from your host, Jonathan. Mysteries, ghosts, monsters and lore. East Coast Esoterica and so much more. If it's up to you, friend, it's on the up to Newfoundland.
Days of Halloween.
What else kind of ghost story do you want to share?
Well, since I already brought it over, I may as well. Now, I don't suppose I could have some music to darken the mood or to
me. Of course! Well, my God.
I brought my own just to.
Wow.
As long as it's not like, you know, like.
Oh gosh, no, it's just.
Aqua Barbie Girl.
No.
Well, I mean, I'm terrified of Aqua Girl.
You know what terrifies me? When I was little, there was this thing that went down on PBS that said, this program was brought to you by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and for viewers like you. And then all of a sudden, this random thing came out of nowhere going, this is PBS! That used to scare me. Just give me a jump scare, you know?
Oak Roof from Polka Dot Door, man. I was terrified. Terrified. And mom would be like, there's a giraffe coming in through the door. I was like, a giraffe? Like, Oak Roof? Anyway. Ambiance, I like it.
Just get it all set up.
I was thinking about last year, we had a similar event at one of the libraries, and this little girl came.
Oh my God, she was
and
precious.
She told all these scary ghost stories, and she won the prize, which was The Exorcist, which was the DVD of The Exorcist, which she definitely could watch because she was way too little.
The prize tonight is a seance where everyone wants to stay. So. Also, I have some magnets.
And buttons.
Oh, yeah, you
live
by Thank you.
So before I begin my story, I just want to say I wrote it myself. It's based on just a few of my experiences that I've had, and it's inspired by some of my favorite bands. So, story. The title is called Hawk's Process, which, for those of you who don't know, is a Swedish word, which means witch trial.
Okay, what was the word again? Sorry, I didn't hear.
Hawk's Process.
Hawk's Process.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm saying that right, because as most of you know, Swedish is not my first language.
Yes.
Now, let's begin. It was the night before Halloween in St. John's, Newfoundland, about 11:45. Me and my friend Amelia had just gotten off the Metro bus coming up from downtown on Stavanger Drive after watching my co-worker's band performing at some crank joint somewhere. We were both in costume. My friend was dressed as Tharja from the Fire Emblem series, and I went as Argentinian communist revolutionary Che Guevara. Because my friend had no key to get into her house, I offered to let her stay the night at mine, being the gentleman that I was. We were both a little tipsy, my friend more so than I, so I suggested we cab it back to my house. Now, Amelia is a bit more emotionally sensitive about certain situations, and the thought of getting in a cab with a total stranger didn't really appeal to her. So she made a counterproposal. Walk all the way from Stavanger, all the way up to my house in Torbay, about an hour's walking distance, give or take. She argued it might help us sober up quicker. Good as that idea was, I had to work the next morning, and I didn't want to lose an hour's sleep, so unfortunately we kind of argued for a little bit after that. And the fact that she was slightly more inebriated only made it worse. She stormed away to be alone for a few minutes, and I figured maybe let her get some steam off her chest, and so I waited at a gas station nearby for a couple minutes. About 10 minutes later, I got up and started searching for my friend. She wasn't anywhere to be found on Stavanger Drive, and the worst-case scenario was she probably started walking down the highway without me, and considering that was close to midnight, dressed so scantily, it was a good way for her to get attacked by perverts. I ran down towards the highway, and soon enough, I heard a loud sobbing from Amelia, coming from a rather worn-down white lodge with no vehicle in its rocky driveway. The wind started to pick up, and the shutters on the windows of said house slammed open and door, open and closed rapidly. Then the sobbing shifted into a horrid scream. I looked at the house marked 780 on the front door, and busted in without a second thought. The whole abode was dark, save for the windows I saw from the outside being the only source of light. As I gathered my surroundings, I took notice of a few oddities which one wouldn't normally come across in your everyday residence. An old hat that resembled that of a 17th century witch hunter, and a firearm, a blunderbuss from the looks of it. On the walls were a few unlit candles with brass handles attached, and though they were hard to see, a few sepia photographs dating back to the mid-1800s. Judging from the photos, the person who lived here was most likely a devout pastor who took care of homeless women and children while enjoying his occasional hobby of hunting. Some of the scenes and photos took place in front of a church I didn't really recognize. Perhaps people avoided this place because they all got the wrong idea about this one man. At least, that's what I would have liked to think. But my point of view changed when the whistling wind slammed the door, the window shut, and silenced afterwards, and everything went black. Amelia's screaming returned once again, louder this time. She was definitely somewhere in this house. The unlit candles from before were now aglow, making the atmosphere more ominous and dreadful than before. In addition, the hat and the firearm that were laying on the table from when I came in had now vanished. The scenes occurring in the photographs had transitioned to more disturbing content. The women and children whom I thought he was protecting were actually now being tortured and burned on stakes at the same church. Witch trials, maybe? It didn't really make much sense considering that they ended the trials by fire before the 1800s, which was when these photos were taken. Perhaps someone wanted to get a head start on their haunted house and wanted to show it off to visitors a day early. Well, they made it very convincing, that's for sure. Again, that's what I'd like to think. But it was when I approached a particular word that, which was drawn atrociously in blood, that my moment of relief was extinguished. It was hanging over a door leading downstairs, and from the looks of it, it was in Swedish. I had oddly seen that word used before as a song title by one of my favorite bands, and if memory serves me right, it translated loosely into a witch trial. The word was Hoxprocess. Maybe the person who lived here originally came from Sweden, and once the witch trial burning was banned, he fled to Newfoundland so he could practice these horrible methods in secret. But why Newfoundland of all places? Perhaps he figured the island would be overlooked at the time, and there was no shortage of desolate areas where he could resume his activities. Suddenly, I heard footsteps on the creaking boards approaching, and saw a shadow of a man wearing the same hat that disappeared from the table earlier, and holding the aforementioned firearm. I immediately reminded myself that my friend Amelia was still in danger, so I grabbed the nearest candle with a holder and made my way downstairs. When I got to the bottom of the cellar, I got a whiff of red wine that had gone off for far too long, and if that wasn't enough to make me vomit, I passed by what was charred skeletal remains of those that were unfortunate enough to be victims of this terrifying figure. I accidentally tripped up, and when my fingers came in contact with one of the remains, they were still fairly hot to the touch, meaning this incident did not happen until after Amelia went into this house. My anxiety level reached its threshold, and fearing the worst, I continued to storm to the end of the cellar. At the very back was Amelia, tied up to a post with dry straw at her feet. As I proceeded to untie her, she quietly told me everything she could remember up to this moment. Amelia gave the same description of the man that I saw just a few minutes ago, wearing the same getup. Bang! A gunshot echoed from the light of the doorway leading down to where we were before it vanished. I had not but my candle to guide me and my friend. With Amelia clinging to me, still quietly sobbing in terror, I slowly crept closer to where I came in and grabbed a nearby bottle of wine, smashing the bottle to make a weapon to defend myself. I was such a dumbass, using this in a gunfight, but better to die on your feet than lying on the street, I thought to myself. I felt the wine spilling from the broken bottle onto the floor as I got closer and closer to what was awaiting me. Bang! I felt a sharp breeze as the gunshot nearly missed the two of us, causing me to stop dead in my tracks. My friend was shaking even more, pleading for dear life. I pointed the candle further into the ever-black air in front of me when, without warning, a pair of yellow, bloodshot eyes accompanied by an unpleasant smile, like the one you'd probably expect from the Cheshire Cat from Alice in Wonderland, emerged. I gasped and backed up, the both of us tripping, and I had dropped my candle, the only source of light in my hand. Once the candle had hit the floor, a trail of spilled wine slowly ignited, and the set of eyes and teeth came out as a bright body set ablaze, rolling on the floor trying to extinguish the flames. I sniffed the bottle which the wine spilled out of and realized this wasn't wine at all. It was gasoline. To avoid being caught in the disaster, we took a chance to run up the stairs and exit the Hell House. I briefly looked to see what the glowing, fiery figure looked like before he collapsed from exhaustion. Even though the cellar was on fire, the only things still present from the body that was once ablaze were the hat and the now-busted blunderbuss. No presence of any moving body whatsoever. Once we got out of the house, still on fire, we decided to make a cut through the woods to avoid any confrontations with law enforcement and possible misunderstanding. We vowed never to speak of this again, and let's just say Amelia never made the choice to ever dress up as Tharja again.
Wow, I gotta clap for this guy. That was epic. How long did it take you to write that story?
About 3 days, give or take, because I was working, so.
I love how, as you're telling the story, the pace of the story started to pick up. The action in the story started to pick up. So it was kind of like, felt my heart kind of pop. And when you went bang, I said, I pissed my pants. I think it was wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that.
No problem. And the eyes with the teeth and everything, actually, I didn't see it in that area, but in one of my older houses, I used to sleep in a bunk bed, and in the pitch black area when it was nighttime, I could have sworn I saw something like that just staring back at me while I was in my bed.